It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Listen to KCMD AM Portland and so forth. All right, coming up, we got the top five for today. Top five most irritating lead singers of all time. This is not even really in my estimation. I just basically tabulated and calculated the votes by the people. You can do that at my MySpace page. Is Rick Emerson? No. MySpace.com/Rick Emerson. Whatever. Just go to RickEmerson.com. You see it all there. I tell you to go to 970.am, but the odds are only like 1 in 500 that it's actually working at the moment. So, you know, we'll kind of sort through all of that. Here's what's coming up. We'll talk. I wrote down that we were going to talk about vomit, but, you know, now I don't even remember what I was going to say about it. Really, what is there to say about vomit?
Not a whole lot.
I'm sure everyone knows what it is.
Vomit. Well, I'll put it down. Vomit? Question mark. What is this? It'll probably cut. See, I'm saying I'll put it in the hopper.
Are you trying to jog the memory?
I'll put it in the hopper, and my brain will come back to me with an answer. You know, my brain's kind of like one of those tubes at the bank. You know what I mean? Where you the vacuum thing, where you pull up and you put your check in and you close it up in the bank tube and you put it in. It goes and it sort of whisks away, and then later it comes back to you. That's kind of how my brain is. I'll just tell my brain to work on something. Later on, it comes back. We got this, Rick. Subject line, Operation Mindcut.
Mindcrime.
Hello, sir, Queensryche fans. Rick, I'm sure you are already on top of this, but just in case you were not, by the way, I only catch the show during the noon hour. Please read this then. Sorry. Queensryche will be playing the Rose... What am I... He's not even listening. Why am I reading this? Queensryche will be playing... Somebody, if you know Neil in Portland, you just let him know I read this. Queensryche will be playing the Roseland on October 12th. I thought they were playing the Schnitzer. Apparently it's a Roseland. October 12th, the great part is they'll be playing Operation Mindcrime 1 and Operation Mindcrime 2 in their entirety. Sorry to repeat, but again, I only catch the show between noon and 1. Well, here's a reply you'll never hear. So I don't think I'm going. Everybody's been asking me about that. Not ever. Like one guy asked me about that. And I don't think I'm going to go. What's the point? No, I haven't even... This is how lame I am. I got Operation Mindcrime 2 and I haven't... And it's got Dio on it. I haven't even listened to it yet. Sitting there, it fails to grab me in any real way. Plus, for Queensryche fans out there, this was up until recently, they had never again performed. Operation Mindcrime is this concept record that they did, sort of like their The Wall. And I, up until recently, I was able to say proudly and with some boastfulness that I had seen the last ever live performance of Operation Mindcrime, which was back in 1991. And it was the last ever performance of that for years and years and years and years. And then they started doing it again a couple years ago. And so I just don't want to sully the experience. It was great. It was when they were touring for the Empire album. They were at the peak of their popularity. Really, I saw them at the absolute best time to see that. And I just don't think it's nothing. I don't want to dilute the memory. So I will not be going to that. What else? Let's read one more, then we'll go to the city desk. Subject line, I'm in Kuwait. Rick, oh, we just got an email from Luke in Australia, by the way. I know that. Oh. I don't know anything about being able to listen online, but apparently he is listening online live today. Listening online live as we speak.
Must be that Armenian connection.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. Let's see. I had some email from him just a second ago. Blah, 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 and I don't know where it went. But I had some email from Luke, and he's listening live in Australia somehow. I am in Kuwait, says this email. Rick, just wanted to say, what's up from Kuwait?
We liberated that country not too long ago.
Yeah, I guess. Glad to know you are back on the... Women can even vote there, as of like a week ago. Glad to know you are back on the radio. I know nothing of listening to you daily on this podcast thing you don't speak of, but if I did hear your show, I would say this. Your show sounds great, like it never went off the air. I'll be getting out of this S-hole in August after being a contract whore for war. War whore. For the past 3 years. Do you have any plans for a listener party in August? It is a full month of not working with plenty of cash in my pockets for strippers and beer. Take care, and I too wish that the guy in New York City drowned. I mean, that's what I could say, what I would say if I could hear your show. If I was listening to a podcast, which I don't know anything about because you certainly never mentioned it. Signed, Listener Lenny in Kuwait. So there you go.
I think the station has a daytime directional pattern. It utilizes more than one tower.
Into the Persian Gulf. Our system, our relay system. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior. Did I tell you this thing about bags made of human skin?
No.
Okay, we'll get to it. Here's your Tim Riley, the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat Tim Riley reporting. A Spokane woman allegedly stole her employee's credit cards and identity and charged more than $12,000 for breast enhancements. 35-year-old Jerry Ann Kozer has been charged with 26 counts of forgery, 3 counts of second-degree theft. Police allege that Kozer stole from her employers at Liberty Lake Medical Supply last year. She misappropriated $12,734 for breast implants. But what kind of breast implants if your Dodge Durango isn't working properly? So she spent that on repairs. And how can you invite suitors over to see your... without nice new furniture, which you also spent money on.
Your suitors in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
The men
staring at you from your Dodge Durango, your new bus line.
Really, anybody who's familiar with Spokane, you know how fantastic this story really is.
Mm-hmm. So apparently she was hoping that someone would take her up on her offer for a martini at her cozy apartment.
You know, wait. Martini, her cozy Spokane hideaway, yeah. Her Spokane bungalow of love.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, speaking of new breasts, I got an email from her the other day. Yes.
Inviting you to Spokane to her.
Would you like to come to my Spokane love nest?
How about a Durango ride?
Do you want to eat day-old cheese and watch television? Are you turned on by aluminum siding? I got an email from that woman on MySpace, who's a listener of ours, Jesse's girlfriend. Her MySpace, she's the Jessica's boob job.
Oh, yeah.
She's putting up, and I swear to God, I know this sounds like some bad radio gag thing, but she's a listener. She's nice. I've met her. She's very nice. And she brought us the placenta. Really, how can one woman give so much? First, she gives us a placenta, and she's putting up a website. Where she just wants people, presumably dudes, to chip in so she can get a breast job done. Which I think is fine. I think that's putting the internet to its best use. Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do with it? Study? Learn? Read more stupid Wikipedia entries about the Jim Rose Circus sideshow? What are you going to do? So we're going to have her on. She's asked if she can come on the show, and actually I asked her to come on the show. And so we're going to talk to her about that because the whole thing is just fascinating to me. And because I feel like if we all pull together as an audience, we can get nude pictures of her to put on the website. What? Like I'm going to have some woman on who wants to...
You're shallow.
Okay, look. Like I'm going to have some woman on who's using the internet to get a boob. What am I going to bring her on and talk about the situation in Iraq?
Well, just because she wants boobs doesn't mean she wants to get naked.
Hey, it's not something for nothing, sister. It's a little quid pro quo in this life. All right? Ain't nothing that's going to be handed to you. You got to work for it. Yeah.
You're really weird.
Work it hard. Here's Tim Riley.
As American Idol winds down for another season, the show is playing homage to the king of rock and roll. On last night's installment, the four remaining citizens or singers had to belt out 2 songs each from the catalog of Elvis Presley. And while Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul were heaping on the praise, Simon Cowell's criticisms weren't very popular with the studio audience.
It looked like a desperate audition. Let me finish. It was manic, it was shrieky. In the real world, that was a terrible impersonation.
This much about American Idol.
The thing was hideous, and it was shut up.
Okay, that's pretty great.
Did you just say that to Paul Abdul?
That's way to go. So, okay, he won me back. See, right at the beginning, I was like, screw this, who cares? But at the end, he won me over.
Shut up.
I like that guy. You know what I mean? He's just made a whole career out of manipulating idiots and just pandering to the lowest comments. And I admire anybody who can do that. That guy comes over here, no demonstrable skills, no talent. He can't do any... What can Simon Cowell do? Nothing. He has no skills. He doesn't...
He makes $35 million a year.
Yeah, he's a producer. He's not a record label producer.
What has he produced?
He owns part of the show, and he's a record A&R person.
I could be an A&R. An A&R person.
But you're not. He is.
But that's what I'm saying. No, I'm not trying to... I'm saying... I admire the guy because he doesn't have any skills that I can see.
Right.
He doesn't have any abilities or talents. I'm not trying to bust on the guy.
No.
We should all be so lucky. You know what he is? And as soon as this is one of those things that I'm going to say, and then everybody else is going to go, that's brilliant. I'm going to start using it on my own radio show. This is one of those phrases that I'm going to utter, and now everybody will know that it's true. It's one of those things that makes so much sense that I will say it, and you'll go, I never thought of it, but it's so obvious. You know what he is? He is the musical Mr. Blackwell.
Yes,
you,
he is.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm talking about right there. That's the kind of incisive whatever thing that they pay me for here, badly. That's the kind of thing the union pays me $73 for. Because Mr. Blackwell, who is Mr. Blackwell?
He comes out once a year.
I know, but who is he?
He's some complaining old man.
He's just some guy with a tight, shiny face, and he's irritating. Mr. Blackwell, I have no idea who he is, what he's done, where he comes from, what his skills are, what his background are, where does his expertise come from, where is he educated, where was he trained, where did he receive any of his clothing knowledge? No one knows.
We'll have to find out.
He just announced that he was a guy who knew stuff, and then there you go. So it is with Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell is the musical Mr. Blackwell. And again, I admire him. First of all, let's lose this fiction that being an A&R person takes any skill. Being an A&R person, I mean...
What happened?
No, sorry.
Being an A&R person, I mean, is all you do is you sit there and you go, it's got a good beat. I can dance to it.
Give me another tape.
All right, there you go.
Life Goes On just got released on DVD. Season 1.
Who?
What? Oh, that's the...
Yeah, Corky.
That's the Corky show.
Corky, the Thatchers.
Oh my God.
I'm going to go buy that today.
Okay. Where are you going to be buying it at?
I'll check out CD Game Exchange first.
Thank you. There you go.
You're welcome.
You know what else comes out today? It's Facts of Life on DVD. You all want to be, people my age want to be checking that out. Anyway, all I'm saying is I admire Simon Cowell because he's made a whole lot out of nothing. And I can respect someone who, I mean, that really is, I know he was big in Britain, blah, 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 but that doesn't count for anything. He's made it big in America, which is where it matters, with no skills and by doing really nothing, but just being snippy. And so, this is to you, Simon Cowell. We appreciate it.
Meanwhile, Indiana State Health Commissioner Julie Monroe hopes those of you who watched the bird flu movie last night weren't really panicked by it.
What we don't want to do is see a movie that was made for entertainment become something that folks begin to panic about. But we would like to see this movie inspire preparation.
I was inspired by the bird flu. I didn't even know it was on. I think you'd actually have to watch it.
If you watch the original Birds movie, you'll know what to do.
Stay out of the attic. All right.
What else do we have? This day, everyone in the media. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are now to be collectively called Brangelina.
Old news is so exciting. Okay. Is that it? Anything else?
No, that's it for now.
All right. Well, we'll come back to the city desk, though. No, I'm just... Was that, like, in the news?
That was in the news.
In the news. A guy actually sent me the name of the announcer who did In the News. Do you remember that?
I remember the show.
On CBS?
Yeah.
It's like that, In the News is one of those phrases that you hear it and it hadn't occurred to you for the longest time and it dislodges this whole avalanche of things in your head. It's like when somebody goes, time for timer, and you're like, you go, hoorah, and suddenly you're being pulled down some weird time tunnel kind of a thing. Alright, I'm gonna read a couple of these emails. Then we'll probably do the top five, although we got to talk about... Oh, I remember the vomit thing. I remember that was all about. We'll talk about vomit, Cosmopolis, and so forth, this nuclear landmark. I do have a couple of these emails to read. Let's see, where do they go? We have this Axl Rose news to get to.
Oh.
I might as well just read this Axl Rose news first, get it
that
over with.
Because
it's going to be... It's stupid. It's going to be outdated. It's already outdated. I should have read it yesterday. Axl Rose has new Guns N' Roses album due in fall. Do we have the rim shot for this?
Mm-hmm.
I shall be. Try this again. This is from CNN.com. Axl Rose says new Guns N' Roses album to be released in fall. There you go. Thank you. Rock recluse Axl Rose made a surprise radio appearance to proclaim that Guns N' Roses 10 years! Chinese Democracy album will finally hit store shelves this fall. Blah, 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 no one cares. This comment Saturday, Eddie Trunk, you know, talk about a guy who's... You want to talk about a guy who makes Simon Cowell look like... I mean, Eddie Trunk, who... never mind. The comment said Eddie Trunk syndicated. In the future, everyone will have a syndicated radio show for 15 minutes, and it will be terrible. It'll be huge, but terrible. See also, Whoopi Goldberg. Did we read that story yesterday?
No, I really didn't want to think about it.
They're giving Whoopi Goldberg a syndicated radio show. Jab out your ears now.
They gave Bob Dylan one, too.
Why? What does he do? What does Bob Dylan do? And hey, we're going to be talking about pets. I mean, what is it like? I can't picture Bob Dylan.
How to remove stubborn stains.
It's raining where I am. Is it raining where you are? See, that's a funny radio bit
there. That's what I want to be. I want to be Bob Dylan's quirky sidekick. That is not my goal in life.
Bob Dylan as kooky shock jock. Those look like a double D. Come on, it's funny.
I love it.
Hey, attention FM DJs, you can just have that. There's another one. I don't even need it. That's how much talent we've got on this program. Not so much me, but Sarah and Tim. That's how much talent we've got. We're just throwing bits away here. Throwing them away like so many fingernail pairings. So there you go. How about this? Wait, here's another one. If you are doing an FM radio program somewhere and you find yourself short on material, how about this? You could do Bob Dylan as, Bob Dylan as a drive-through attendant. You could do a whole lot of... I'd like it.
Long-a-tooling man of Kenneth Planer Horror.
MTV's probably already done this.
Whatever you're going to do. There you go. Mad TV is sort of... That's like the South Park. The Simpsons did it. All right.
Nobody watches Mad TV.
No. I didn't even know it was still on the air. It's like ER. Did you know ER is still on the air?
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a huge set over there. They have to use it for something.
I guess. All right, the point is Whoopi Goldberg's got a radio program coming out. It's going to be terrible. Terrible. Do we have that story?
No.
We should read it just so we can become further embittered about things.
Good.
Anyway, Axl Rose's comments on Eddie Trunk's syndicated radio show marks the first interview the painfully private Rose has given since his failed 2002 comeback tour, which was scrapped midway through amid riots. Rose is, you gotta admire a guy that can still make riots happen, though. Rose's impromptu appearance came when former Skid Row frontman Sebastian Bach, who was playing Jesus, by the way, in Jesus Christ Superstar, called Rose's cell phone and patched the call through to the studio. Quizzed on when the near-mythical album would come out, Rose said, sometime this fall or late fall. Blah, blah, blah. Plans are currently in the works for Rose to relaunch his comeback by playing four shows in New York's Hammerstein Ballroom. Rose says the band, I don't even care. I'm a huge Guns N' Roses fan, and it's all I can do to try to keep up my inertia in the story. I just don't care.
I do have the Whoopi Goldberg story.
All right, let me see if I can plow through this. Hold on. Let me just get a running start.
Mm-hmm.
I should care about this, but I just don't. Later in the broadcast, Rose seemed to contradict himself when he said he's been hobnobbing with former GNR guitarist Izzy Stradlin. Stradlin, who's the most talented member of the group, by the way. Former GNR guitar maestro Slash. They're gonna... All right, there you go. I just couldn't take it anymore. It was pointless.
That was theater of the mind.
It's gone. I couldn't even bring myself to read the rest of it.
You want to set it on fire now?
Because the obligatory, you know how the story ends. The obligatory money-grubbing reunion will happen within a year. Everybody knows that, as Leonard Cohen would say. So, you know, whatever. It's like I was watching the goddamn Behind the Music for Guns N' Roses again the other day. It's pointless. Did you ever see one of those Behind the Musics that you know is just there to promote, like, some greatest hits album or whatever? And it's always for somebody that you either already know anything about, they don't deserve it.
Ricky Nelson.
Or Guns N' Roses, where it's like, they were big and now they're gone. They're missing the obvious third chapter. Do we have the Whoopi Goldberg story?
I do.
We might as well read
the funny
that.
Thing was, they were struggling to find her in front of a radio microphone, and this is taken at Anne Frank's 75th birthday party.
I don't understand.
Apparently, there was a birthday.
Was she doing stand-up or something?
I'm not sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Anne Frank 75th birthday story. Now, lots of laughs with Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, call it radio-free Whoopi. Whoopi Goldberg announces she'll be joining the ranks of radio voices this summer when she launches a live syndicated program called Wake Up with Whoopi. I'm going to talk to people. People are going to talk to me.
Oh, that sounds gripping. How can it fail? Now, is this a real radio program, or is this another one of those satellite?
This is from Clear Channel, so it must be serious.
Well, because here's the... Is that an intentional pun?
No, they must have some money to pay her.
Oh, and you said Clear Channel must be serious, and I was going to give you credit for making a little joke there, making it funny.
I wasn't even thinking of doing that.
No, because here's the thing. Look, I'm not going to knock new technology. I'm a big believer. I'm an early adopter. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's just, it's like the... it does seem, not that there's not, I'm sure there's quality programming everywhere, satellite, what have you, but it does just sort of seem like cable access to some degree. Like, there's just sort of everybody with a pulse. I mean, look, I don't care how big of a Howard Stern fan you are. There's no need to have 10 channels. Isn't there one channel that's just Howard Stern fans? Somebody told me there's some channel that is just nothing but it's programs run by literally, it's like programs run by guys who are just fans of the Howard Stern show. Because, like, you're a fan, therefore your program must be great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this is going to be, like, on Real Radio, though, that she's...
Yeah, it's going to debut July 31st.
Ugh. And so what is Whoopi Goldberg's description of the show?
I'm going to talk to people. People are going to talk to me. I'm going to be singing and dancing from my chair. Oh, I'm God. Going to wake people up.
You're not going to wake anybody.
Maybe she'll have something zany like a whoopee cushion.
I'm sorry. Oh, what was I thinking? I didn't... With the whole, wait.
Well, the president of Clear Channel, whose name is John Hogan, said Whoopi will bring a much-needed female voice to morning radio, although the actress warned that she won't yell at people. Her radio idol is oldies rock DJ Cousin Brucey.
Oh, Jesus God.
She won an Academy Award in 1990 for the film Ghost.
Quit milking it! This is like the Kevin Costner, I was attached with the wolves. No one cares.
It's something I've always wanted to do.
Oh, God.
I just didn't have the opportunity before now. Thank God for Clear Channel.
Yes, that's what I say every morning. Thank. Sentiments expressed by everyone. Thank God for Clear Channel. Jesus, God Almighty.
Why can't we have her on this station?
Because I've got ears and I'm not a friggin' moron.
It would be funny.
Because we're not pandering to idiots.
She really has no idea what she's doing.
No!
Look. I'm going to talk to people and they're going to talk to me.
Well, that's what happens to anyone who's giving a radio show these days.
Oh, God. God. All right. Whatever. It's fine. It's fine. But you know what this is like? And again, I don't mean to sound bitter about it. It's just astonishing more than anything else. Look, let's be very clear about something. It's not like we're all geniuses, okay? No one's ever going to confuse me with a guy who has actual real talent at something. But Tim and I, especially, we've talked about this before. There is this sort of known dynamic that when somebody is good at the radio, good at being a broadcaster, that's typically all you're good at. It's called a specialized skill set. And now a lot of you have heard the news, Phil Henry's going to be retiring. And it's not another secret. Everybody knows that Phil Henry is going to be going away at some point. He's going to be acting, which I think a lot of people feel is a bad move, because just because you can do one thing, look, I mean, you get Rush, who's a fantastic broadcaster.
You don't see him on the sitcom.
One of the best there ever was. Everything Rush did on television failed.
Put him on the middle of the night.
Everything Rush Limbaugh did ended up being used just to fill time between vitamin infomercials because he sucked on television. Everything Howard Stern did on television failed. The only thing Howard never failed at was just a videotape of his radio show. That's it. Like, everything Howard Stern tried to do on television imploded. It's not a knock on him. I'm just saying people in radio have a specialized skill set. That's all I'm saying. And so... This is like what has in every market I've ever worked in. There's been this thing where, like, you'll get some guy who's like a DJ on a country station, and he'll think I want to be a talk show host, and it's like you know what I mean? Or you'll get some guy. What do you do? Well, I run a vitamin store. Can I have a talk radio show on the weekend? And they're like, oh, okay, have at it. And man, it's always just like the most painful, horrifying thing to listen to.
We have 5 a.m. to 5:30 available. I'll take it.
I'm a natural. I got lots of stuff to say. Here's the thing. You don't. That's it, man. It's like you can always tell, too, because you'll be listening and it'll be like 2 p.m. on a Saturday. And it'll be some guy who clearly, like, he runs like a tire store somewhere. And they, he's decided that his new calling is to be a kooky, compelling, edgy talk radio host. Or it's like some guy who works at he works at the markets like Smooth Jazz Station, but he's decided that he's got an edgy and different side to his persona he wants to unleash. They'll give the guy a weekend show.
When nobody's listening, and they know.
When nobody's listening, he'll have lots of stuff he thinks he wants to talk about. He'll come on. The first week, all of his friends will call. The second week, no one will call.
But on the first week, he said everything he has to say.
Yeah, like in the first, before the first stop set. Between like 11 and 11:20, he's made all of the 55 points that he's got written on his legal pad. And that's it. And then the rest of the show is him going, anyway, Looks like we've got one line available. One line available, by the way, is radio code for all our lines are available. But I'm desperately trying not to sound, you know, desperately short of calls. When you hear a radio host say, if you call right now, you can sneak in one line available. That is radio lingo for the phones are dead. They are empty. There is no one calling. No one is listening. No one is paying any attention to this program at all.
Whoopi Goldberg also hosted a TV show in the 1990s. Nobody can remember.
I don't even remember that show existing.
Well, that must be pre-Tony Danza. They all used the same set.
She was
they
the lead-up.
They just changed the name on the wall.
She was the warm.
Same furniture.
She was really trying to get people rolling for Tony Danza. God. All right. Rick, this email says, even if you're not having a listener party, we should take Lenny from Kuwait for strippers and beer anyway. I am game to spearhead that, says Kristen on accounting. Rick. I'm just going to read some of these emails. Rick, about Mindcrime 2. They toured and touted this a year ago, and it sucked. It was the worst show ever. Their pompous, actor-ridden train wreck came off like a junior high school play. Excessive, tawdry, cheap, ill-conceived. Let's see what else. Rick, worse than the table of contents in the magazine is that they never have page numbers. Go to page 86. It's impossible to get to page 86 when the only two page numbers you can find in a magazine are 52 and 123. That's completely true. The Inquirer does that. The Inquirer will take the one story you want to hear, which is like the Whitney Houston's getting a butt transplant.
So you're desperately trying to read as you're waiting in line
at the
grocery store?
I'm desperately trying to read.
Seriously,
and I'm sitting there, and it's between the Tic Tacs and the D-cell batteries, and I'm trying to read as not to pay for it, and I can't find it because there are no page numbers. I guess the Inquirer's target demo, maybe they're not used to, you know, using the like a numbering system or whatever. But all right, Rick, I'm thoroughly amazed at how every day you manage to sound older and crankier and more senile. I can smell your arthritis rub through my radio. This is from Kathy.
You are pretty cranky today.
I'm not cranky.
But
you know what it is?
But good thing Tim and I are in good spirits because it's just amusing to us.
I'm filled with zest. The lemony kind. Subject line, Armenian wrath. Kathy says, Rick, you're going to get some angry emails from local Armenians. They are a humorless people. Okay. Well, very, very cruel race.
Can we please break?
Do we have to break? Haven't we taken our break?
No, we haven't taken our break.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What with all the compelling Whoopi talk? How many times are we going to have to read that? She's making Whoopi. morning long. It's like, you know that guy from the films when that Rocky Balboa comes out. I was talking to somebody this last night. You know that you're going to see the guy from United Artists or whatever that studio is going, this movie's going to rock your world. No pun intended. Kill me. Kill me. Ride the Tiger. It's a Rick Emerson show. Why don't they give Dio a talk show? We should do it when we do our musical episode. One of those songs should be in the manner of Dio. All right.
Okay.
All right. Attention, DJs. You can do Dio as drive-thru attendant, too. I'll give you that one. Back after this, it's a Rick Emerson show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Well, that was pointless. He dismissed us during the break. So remember yesterday we had this whole discussion about the red-hooded parking meters? Not that we confuse with red-headed stepchildren. The red-hooded parking meters downtown that no one can park in. So,
yeah.
Aaron, geek in the city, who was used to work for the man.
Oh, the lady.
He was the lady. He was bringing down the system from within. No longer. Now he does something else. But anyway, he gave me a phone number with which to start hacking my way through the fortress, the labyrinth of bureaucratic nonsense surrounded. It's trying to get an answer about this. I had to go to like 80 different people this morning to try to find somebody. So I won't give out his name. I will be kind. Not give out his name and direct dial number, which I am inclined to do because he was rather brusque with me. But I finally found this guy. I wasn't gonna be mean. I wasn't gonna be rude. I wasn't gonna be some kooky shock jock. I just wanted to get him on and find out why nobody is ever parked in those spaces that are blocked off. Just being wasted. Just real estate just not being used by anybody. And so, I called him and I had the most awkward conversation. Awkward for him, I guess. Because he was like, well, what is this in regards to? And I said, well, it's regards to those red-hooded parking meters that no one's ever parked at. Why are they always just blocked off and yet they're empty? There's no construction going on. There's never anything happening. They're just not available. And it's like, well, we don't typically like to talk to the public directly. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, because I would, well, that's the thing. And I'm like, come on. And I told him, I said, look, we're not going to be mean. I won't ambush you. I just want to know the answer. And he said, I'd be happy to give you a pre-prepared statement, but I don't think I'd like to come at any radio program. He said it was like it was some spooky new voodoo technology.
But this is the new Whoopi Goldberg show.
Yes. And I said, Why would you not like to come? He said, we don't typically do any live radio programs. And I said, and he specifically noted, we don't like to do any live radio programs, quote, where the public can call in. And I said, why is that? And he said, we typically find that letting people ask us questions directly, we just don't like to do that. So he's like, at least he was honest. He was just upfront about it. So there you go. The city doesn't care about you. They wish you were dead. I know, we got to do the top five. Let me read these emails, then we'll do that. By the way, listen to this. This is from Andrew Green, the backbone of the Bigger Than Jesus band, now known as Emerson Starship. Rick, I'm sure I could get the Emerson Starship guys together for your musical, should you choose to do it. And it'll be on that day. That'll be the day they talk about when this transcended being a mere radio program. It was
we
no longer.
We should save it for the next holiday.
Is this a serious entity?
What?
Is this idea a serious entity?
When you say serious, what do you mean?
Is it really going to happen?
Yes.
Oh. I think that we should make a plan to do it on like the 4th of July.
We'll unveil it at the next listener party or some holiday.
Drunk people aren't going to want to sit there and listen to
us. We won't
let
them drink.
Yes. We'll lock them up in cages, beat them with hoses. I don't even know what we're talking about. Let me read this email. Subject line, that new group photo of you on the website. And by the way, that's a fantastic photo. That's from the archives of Tim Riley. It's at rickemerson.com.
A listener was holding the camera.
It's a photo of us taken, of myself, Tim, and Sarah, taken outside of Sabala's, I don't know, about a year and a half ago for the bar.
During the summer.
During the Great Unpleasantness version 2. Mm-hmm. During the Barfly anniversary party. Listen to this. Rick, about your group photo. Did you ever notice that you have a John Lennon-esque resemblance? I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
Tim Riley looks like an adult Arthur Fonzarelli. Sarah X. Dillon is the new hotness. So, to recap, Rick Emerson, old and busted. Sarah Dillon, the new hotness. Tim Riley, he's your go-to man in a street fight. Okay? Just one person's opinion. Patrick. Should I take this call?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, let's take this call, and then we will do the top five. Hello, sir, madam, as the case may be. Who are you?
Hello, Rick. This is music director Chris.
Hi. Chris. This is Chris Morris, musical director for Bigger Than Jesus, for the Bigger Than Jesus band. How are you, sir?
I am wonderful. I haven't seen you in ages. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Have you been on hold this whole time?
Yeah, I've been on hold for probably about a half an hour.
No one told me.
You can see the lights.
Sure. I just thought it was, I thought it was just a decorative light. I didn't really know somebody was there.
I've got nothing else to do between noon and three, so I don't mind.
God bless you. That's the right answer. What's up, dude? This is your chance to pimp anything you'd like to pimp. You guys have a record, you have a video, you have all kinds of great stuff.
Well, as you know, I'm not into coming on the show and doing that. I'm calling about Queensryche.
Listen to that. He's so humble. He goes right for the content. All right, Queensryche, they've got Mindcrime 2 out.
Now, look, Mindcrime 2 is the best Queensryche album they've done in, I would say, 12 years.
So that would be...
It is genius. Promised Land. Now, look, Promised Land is a fantastic record with a bad single.
Dad. Yeah. It had the ballad, the obligatory terrible ballad.
Bridge is a terrible song, but every other song on that record is fantastic.
All right.
But Mindcrime 2 is fantastic. Ronnie James Dio does a duet with Jeff Tate that is just awe-inspiring.
Now, Dio plays Dr. X. Is that true?
Yes.
All
yes.
Right.
Ronnie James Dio is Dr. X, and during the confrontation between Nicky and Dr. X, Jeff Tate and Dio go round and round each other, verse and chorus. It's fantastic.
Now, see, here's where Queensryche lost me, because I was, big fan of the Rage for Order and the Mindcrime, of course, and Empire, and then they started doing this series of unfortunate album titles, where it was a lot of, like, Q2K, and, like, in the Now Frontier, like, H-E-A-R. It was all very bad.
Here in the Now Frontier and Q2K are a couple of albums, and Tribe as well, are albums that Queensryche fans just generally kind of disregard, with the exception of a few songs.
Just overlook it.
I tell you what, I've seen Queensryche live 15 times.
Really?
Okay? I've seen Queensrÿche Live 15 times since the Building Empires tour.
How is that even possible?
In California, in Nevada, in Washington, in Oregon, and even in England. They are perfect every time. If you do not go and see the show, you are doing yourself a disservice.
Are you on their payroll or something? Is it like a check in the mail for you to...
No. I am a fervent defender of Queensrÿche fandom.
Yes.
And I always will be. You will not regret going to the show. And that Nimrod who sent you that email about how the last show was bloated and pretentious. Yes, it was bloated and pretentious. It's Queensrÿche.
All right.
If you don't want bloated and pretentious, you don't go and see Queensrÿche. I'm telling you this. Come to the show. Come with me and Andrew. If you don't like it, I will give you your goddamn money back.
Well, who can turn that down? All right. It's the Roseland October 12th?
It is at the Roseland October 12th.
All right. Okay. I'll go. You got me. All right. All right, excellent. All right, thank you, sir. Christopher Morris, ladies and gentlemen, the musical director for the Bigger Than Jesus Band. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rick. Talk to you later.
God bless you. There you go. All right.
Let's do this.
What are we doing?
Top five.
Do we have time?
Yes.
You sure?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You positive?
Uh-huh.
You don't have any doubts?
Five,
oh, okay.
Four,
I guess we're going.
Three, two, one.
Staying on schedule today.
Fire.
Look at you cracking the whip. You know, and he was so professional about it, too, and humble. I gave him the opportunity to pimp. He passed over it to convey the word of Queensrÿche. It's a true music fan right there. He looms large in the musical landscape. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior, Tim Riley, at the City Desk.
First of all, this breaking news story. The former rock band manager whose pyrotechnics caused a nightclub fire that killed 100 people gets 4 years in prison. Daniel Michael, who was a tour manager for Great White on February 2003 when he lit a polytechnic display that ignited highly flammable foam that lined the walls and ceilings of the station nightclub in West Warwick, Rhode Island. The foam was used as soundproofing and was placed there by the owners whose neighbors complained about the live music.
They chose poorly.
Mm-hmm. So that's that. It's 4 years.
All right.
Now,
here's your top five.
Shrill, shrieking, wailing, and warbling. The world of music is filled with all kinds of singers and screamers, but there are a select few, a rare handful, whose method of delivery is enough to make one pray for a quick death or earplugs. Let's take a listen to these, the top five most irritating singers of all time.
These are the top five most irritating singers of all time, as voted on by the people who go to the Rick Emerson MySpace webpage. Go!
Honorable mention goes to Scott Stapp of...
Oh!
Oh,
ow! Ow, we're all deaf! It's the hearing's coming back. Oh God, now I have to hear this. Oh, I wish I was dead.
Oh my God. How hot did you load these in?
You might want to prepare for these to be a little peaked, volume one.
Okay.
If you didn't. Here's what happened. Sarah hit play, and Tim actually was blown off his chair just now by the volume. All right, let's move on. These are all going to be a little loud. No.
I'll keep it very quiet.
At number four, here's Axl Rose.
All right. By the way, back on that Creed, he's honorable mention because Scott Stapp, we've retired his jersey. It would be too predictable to make Scott Stapp the most irritating singer, but he's in his own category. Honorable mention because he's his own universe of bad. And the fact that he can even ruin a classic, that he can ruin a magnificent song like 18. Axl Rose, by the way, I tried to be colorblind about all this. I'm a big, huge, honking Guns N' Roses fan, but I recognize that Axl Rose sounds like a yowling cat that's been tossed into the river inside a bag. I do recognize this about him. It's kind of what makes him great, though. Counting down the top five most irritating singers of all time, Tim Riley.
Number four is Bob Dylan.
Well, what can he do? This morning I looked out my window and found that bluebird singing, but there was no one around. It's almost like listening to somebody sawing through a piece of knotted wood.
I love Bob Dylan.
I don't... lyrically, songwriting, this is a beautiful song, by the way. This is one of my all-time favorite Bob Dylan songs, a song called Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Oh, the other singers sound fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the magic of Jeff Lynne. Can't sing? Bury him in reverb. Hire backup singers. More harmonies. And I will say this about Dylan. He writes great songs. The man raised scorn to an art form. But come on now. Let's call it what it is.
I like the one when he's singing with the flashcards. That's a good one.
Sounds like Vincent Price, sort of. All right, here's Tim Riley.
At number three, there's Morrissey. I guess he forgot the word.
There we go. Sorry.
I really thought that was him for a second.
I was going to bust out my Danzig.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
My friend walked down the aisle to this song. I love this song.
Was she skipping?
Yeah, sorry. Was she pale?
She was.
Was it raining outside like the rain inside her soul?
With black hair and glasses.
Of course.
Flower petals were falling from the ceiling.
Were there black roses falling down like the black curtains of her life? Please. Oh, cheer up. God. Meanwhile, Johnny Marr's in a corner scowling. Why do I have to be in a band with this wanker? All right, counting down the top five most irritating lead singers of all time, Tim Riley.
Number two from Rush is Geddy Lee.
Yeah. This one's for you, Chris Morris. Cue Daffy Duck in 3, 2, 1. I miscounted. Oh, the joke falls flat. All right. Pretentious Ayn Rand references. 3, 2, 1. It sounds like it's been pitch shifted. It sounds like it's been sampled at the wrong rate or something. Great songs, sometimes, when they're held to under 9 minutes, when they're not in 17 parts over 4 albums, when he's not talking about communicating with trees or space aliens or snow dogs, I just can't listen to them. I'm sure on the page the songs are great. Can't actually listen to them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're counting down the top five most irritating lead singers of all time. Number one, no challenge, no contest, wasn't even close. Tim Riley.
From the Limp Bizkits, it's Fred Durst.
All right.
Now I know y'all be loving this right here. L-I-M-P, Bizkit is right here. People in the house, put them hands in the air. All right. Cause if you don't care, then we don't
This should
care.
Be a great song. It is a great song.
Untouchable.
So, I mean,
so keep me in this cage.
Jesus.
Until you run that mouth, then I'ma have to play and break the f*** out. And then we'll see who's left after one round with X. And what am I bringing next? Just know it's red and mess. So where the f*** you at, punk? Shut the f*** up and back the f*** up.
Yeah. I mean, it should be a great song. It should be a fantastic song. It's loud. It's got the great guitar. It's got the huge riffs. It's punchy. It's all violent. It's about breaking things.
He's rather impolite.
It's just this guy. Oh, yeah, you have to turn it off. I can't listen anymore. I can't. It's giving me a migraine. All right. I never got over hearing that Scott Stapp in my head at like 180 decibels.
I know those.
If we had a webcam so you could actually have seen Tim Riley blown off his chair. He's like, number six, Scott, and then the song just came thundering in, and Tim literally fell off his chair.
Gotta take a break.
I'm ready.
Okay.
When are we gonna break? There we go. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Let's get to it. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Coming up at 3, it's the Tom Likas Show. Now, back to Rick on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. I think we're all deaf.
Huh?
That's what I'm saying. Number six. Where are they all? Scott Dapp just pouring out of the... Thank you.
Founder.
Somebody sent that to us. Kristen from accounting and several other people actually found that. Good times.
All
right. Okay. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. Don't call. Back in 21 hours. Here's Tim Riley.
You have nothing.
No. What would you like me to do?
We never did the religious nutcase watch, did we?
Oh, darn it.
We did it tomorrow.
Well, but literally, Tim's sitting in front of an empty desk.
I mean, I can paraphrase what happened today.
Okay.
If one needs
Let's go to the
so.
City desk.
With our personal savior?
Yeah, with our personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat Tim Riley reporting. So what happened today? Well, they're going to blow up that big smokestack that's up in Rainier. That big ISR used to be a nuclear power plant or something. They shut it down. There's no further use for it. So they're going to implode it coming up very soon at 7 o'clock in the morning. So hopefully somebody will show up and watch that. Then we had that guy who drove through the bank yesterday about that time. Apparently, he was a disgruntled customer, and he didn't drive his own SUV through it. No, he drove a relative's. Mm-hmm. So he's in trouble for that. Then, George Bush says, even though he may be a lame duck, his brother Jeb would make an excellent presidential candidate.
Did we even get to that today as part of our Bush watch?
We did not.
We did not. We will do it tomorrow.
Too many things to do today.
Here's some other things. A short list of things we did. We didn't get to this business of the vomit. And I realize now what I was going to ask you about when it came. Now, do you remember this? Do you remember as part of last night's phone call? Did I mention this early? Do you remember not letting me off the phone until I said that I loved you?
Yes.
You do remember that?
Yeah, well, I had been, like, going to bed and then waking up at the thorium, then going back to bed. I was delirious. Right.
So, Sarah...
you were delirious.
So, that's Sarah's... So, Kara calls me last night. Sarah calls me last night to tell me she's sick and whatnot. And she's all like, I'm really sick, but I don't know if I can make it in the morning, but I'll be there for the show. And I'm like, well, okay, we'll get better. And she's like, so, you know I love you in the show, right? You know I love you. And I'm all, yeah. And she goes, tell me you love me. And it's all awkward sounding. And you're like, I'm all, like, Laura's all in the next room. I'm like... What? She's like, tell me you love me. And I'm all...
I think that's the way TV people talk.
I love you. Okay, Rick, goodbye. It's all so bizarre.
God, you make me so... I didn't realize I was so loopy.
I'm just saying, that's something to be thought... We never did talk about your therapist either. Hold on, note to self, therapist.
Well, yeah, let's have Torture Sarah Day tomorrow.
It's not Torture Sarah. We're trying to make you a better person. We're trying to... I was going to say plow the field of your mind.
By undermining my therapy?
Sounds wrong somehow. We also never got to this Cosmopolis thing, Safeco Field, this nuclear landmark.
I could wait.
Okay. There you go. All right. Like us at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Gary Baumgarten and Ed McCarthy so forth. Coming up tomorrow, Barfly Magazine's Jen Lane, plus the top 5 Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget, Jen Lane's hosting at the Wednesday Cat House.
Sabalas tonight.
Sabalas, DJ Meow. I'm just reading it right off the thing.
That must be her DJ name.
She's DJing tonight at Sabalas starting at like 9 or 10.
Go see her.
I'll see you there.
Don't let the bastards grind it down. See y'all tomorrow. Sarah, Tim, me. Bye now.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.